There is actually a Christmas episode. They have episodes for a lot of holidays.
Yes.
Awesome.
I love the Christmas episode. Right. It's not sappy. Sentimental.
No pun intended. Good. I was cleaning sap off my floor today. Okay, I've wasted everybody's time long enough. Let's get to the Bed Bath & Beyond episode.
All right. You're listening to Potential Cast, Season 2, Episode 16, Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered. When Cordelia breaks up with him on Valentine's Day, bitch. Xander has a witch put a love spell on Cordelia so he can, in turn, break up with her. Awesome. My name is Stephanie.
I'm Kim Burley.
This is Gabby.
I'm Illyrio.
I'm Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Welcome back, Bob.
Thank you.
We'll try to tone down our shenanigans, Bob.
No problem.
The time of the night,
Bob is. What did Kimberly say?
I said it's the time of night. We're all getting giddy.
Oh yeah, yeah. So, Bob, is this one of your favorites?
Yeah, it definitely is. I really like. Particularly after some really intense episodes like Innocence, I really like the light comic tone of this one. It just gets more and more ludicrous and funny.
Yeah, we really need this one.
I wrote down best episode ever. It is the greatest episode ever. I cannot believe how much I love this episode. It is so weird that I would like this episode this much.
Yeah, but right. Every guy probably loves this episode.
I usually hate this kind of crap. But the thing is, it wasn't trite. It wasn't shallow. There are moments in it that are touching and actually mean something to the characters. It isn't just, you know, it's not just tomfoolery, you know? Mm. It's awesome. Cordelia's a bitch.
Well... to defend Cordelia, there's peer pressure. She's got to please her friends. And she has to decide who she's going to side with, if she wants to keep her friends or if Xander is important enough to give up her friends for.
Mm-hmm.
She learned her lesson.
She did.
Aww, a very special Buffy the Vampire.
Before we get too involved, let's read the rest of Shelley's email that we read last week.
Uh-huh.
Where she talked about phases. Sure. And on BBB, I love that they give us a comedic break in the middle of the darkness.
Yes.
Fabulous episode. Uh-huh. Can't wait to listen to all these episodes. Love you guys, Shelley. Thanks, Shelley.
Thanks,
yep,
Shelley.
That's true.
Thank you.
And I think on our Facebook group, there's at least one comment relating to... this episode, which is... Oh, two. Christine Stefanski says, yay, Xander. Or is it Gzois? Gzois is awesome. And Matt says, oh, BBAB, a fun little episode before things get real. It also originally aired on my 14th birthday. Buffy the show has been around half my lifetime. Wow.
Whoa.
Awesome.
What bothered me was somebody writing that she had watched the show since she was 5.
Yeah. Wow. Right off the bat, like halfway through the episode, I thought the use of the music was just spot mm-hmm. on. For the entire episode, not just when Xander was walking down the hall.
That was awesome.
And they got the love. But like even the source music, like even... It was so perfect. Everything, mm-hmm. all the music was just right
that
on.
That is Xander's theme.
Yeah.
Because there's another episode coming up pretty soon that's a lot of hijinks. And uh-huh. whenever Xander...
Hijinks?
Hijinks are involved, you hear those strings.
Uh-huh.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think I know which one you're talking about. It's later this season.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay.
Another fun one.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah. I have a note, and it's a very important note, and it's the very first note I wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And it says,
can you write that?
Blonde Buffy.
Oh my gosh, yes. Yeah.
Like, she was blonder and tanner than ever.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, pretty soon you won't remember her being a brunette.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the hallway she was kind of like brunette, but in the library with Giles she was a platinum blonde. I was like, what's going on here?
Also, they've gotten the flat iron out as well. Like,
yes.
One thing I liked was that the women that were attracted to Xander got more and more ludicrous. First it was the high school students, including the ones who wouldn't give him the time of day like Buffy. Mm-hmm. Then it was a teacher, Jenny Callender. You know, I love when Giles was pulling her off and she's going, and then Joyce. Oh, and then at the end, Drusilla.
Yes.
You forgot the lunch lady.
Oh, can yes. I say, one of my notes is, lunch lady love is the best love of all. Because she'll come at you with a rolling pin.
So good.
Lunch lady.
And we see that lunch lady a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
Can we talk about Angel, Spike, and Drew, please?
Hold on. First, right from the very beginning, Xander and Cordelia are at a crossroads because Xander's talking to Buffy about how they tried to just hang out and it was a little bit weird and it wasn't really that awesome. And when they're kissing and making noises that make Gabby uncomfortable, it's fine. But when they're actually just hanging out, it maybe isn't so awesome. And then he's, you know, he shows her the gift he's going to give Cordelia. So you kind of know it's going to be a bit of a, what's going on?
Huh? You kind of know that their relationship isn't perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's not as great as he thinks it is. Or maybe he's wishful thinking. Or maybe he knows that it's not perfect, but he's pushing it anyway.
I think as soon as that relationship became a publicly known relationship, it basically stopped being what it was. And all of a sudden it's, okay, well, what do we actually do now? And he actually goes on and talks about this kind of stuff with Cordelia at the Bronze. What was it you wanted to talk about, Kim?
Angel, Spike, and Drew, please.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Kim. Let's talk about that.
I love how Angel keeps one-upping Spike. It's my favorite. I just want to know the history between them, because apparently what I think, Drew and Angel were so hot and heavy, and either Spike was jealous of Angel because he wanted to be like him, or Spike just looked up to him so much. I can't figure out which one it is yet, but it just seems like Spike is left over with Angel's sloppy seconds.
Hmm.
Well,
whatever it is, you will see it all. There's a lot of flashbacks, even probably more in the Angel series than in Buffy, but you'll see some of it in Buffy as well.
Mm-hmm.
But you will get to know everything over time.
Huh. I love it that she got this really nice necklace, but then Angel brings her actual heart and she loves it.
Go ahead and turn that into a commercial, De Beers.
Angel really knows how to push Spike's button, and Spike is just sitting there seething about it. That goes on a lot.
Angel knows how to impress Drew.
So, you know, I haven't.
Spike do anything to retaliate?
I think he can't.
I think that was my thing. I have a different take on that whole situation because Spike seems to be getting more obviously annoyed with Angel being around, but he also seems to be kind of like bored and big with the eye rolling with Drew, like it's being forced or something, like something's not right. So I'm thinking that he could possibly do something to help the Scoobies or help somebody to re-curse Angel to get Angel out of his hair so he can have...
You think he's that insecure that he would help turn Angel good again?
Yes.
Hmm.
Because Spike was the man before Angel came back. Sorry, Angelus. Yeah,
and now he's a little girly man in a little girly wheelchair.
Exactly.
Look at me. I'm Angel. I bring a human heart.
Yeah, and he's definitely getting more and more, I guess, exasperated by her. Oh, thank you, Angel. This is what I want. He's like, ugh, he's got to get rid of him. He's got to get rid of Angel somehow.
That's a good point.
Hmm, interesting.
But why just turn Angel back into a nice guy? Why not just kill him?
I don't know. Because I could lack poetry. I don't know.
I do think that happens,
but that's very interesting.
I do think Angel being a good guy again would cause Spike more problems. It might make more sense to kill him.
Yeah.
I think Stephanie just anti-spoiled us. Telling us what doesn't happen is just as bad as telling us what does.
So, you just don't understand. It's so hard because
I know.
I can't.
The next promo is just you saying these things. Not being able to fully express because it's awesome. I love these situations. I love it. I love how I people are emailing in and I think I read one from it was either from Sarah or Paul or Karela, who was saying that Stephanie is improving in how she's not gasping as much whenever we say something that's maybe potentially spoilery. So I could totally understand where you're coming from, Steph, and how difficult it is. But
see, a lot of times I have to say something to keep Kim's brain from turning.
You can't keep Kim's brain down.
She just keeps going and going and going.
Absolutely.
It's that subsidized education. You can't keep us down.
I've been through this process with friends, and it's really an art form. You can't really just say nothing, but you can't give anything away either. Yeah. In fairness, I think Stephanie was an absolute master in not saying anything about Angelus. Do you know how many times she must have had her bite her lip leading up to that?
Because I felt like I was saying the same things over and over and over without saying what happened.
Well, luckily we started distracting ourselves with things like Bra Watch, so I guess it got easier.
Very true.
But my favorite was one time she said that Angel was going to be a badass, and I'm listening and I'm going, she got away with that?
How does he become a badass?
Yeah, I never thought, like, the way it happened, you know, I never thought that it was going to turn out that way. Yes. Like, on all the scenarios I had going in my mind, I never once thought, oh, what if the curse is gone and all of a sudden the angel that's their friend and everything, it just disappears. Do you know what I mean? It never occurred to me. It never occurred to me. And I don't know if it's just me or if it's just excellent writing. I'm leaning towards the excellent writing thing, but, you know, I'm biased. I don't want it to be me being the problem there. But, she definitely got away with saying that because it's not anything I ever would have considered.
Well, thinking back when Steph said Angelus is going to be a badass, I immediately just thought it was going to be in a flashback, not in the future.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
Mm. Yeah, so good job, Steph.
Oh, thank you.
You're doing really well at keeping us in the dark. And apparently everybody thinks my head's going to explode at the next episode. I have to line my studio walls with plastic. I'm actually going to go down to the flea market tomorrow and see if they have an old diving bell helmet, like an old diver's helmet, and I could maybe put the microphone in there. But anyway, I don't want us to digress too much off target. But suffice it to say, so far, so good.
Well, anyway, so I think they're... I think, to me, it seems like there's a potential, but I'm probably wrong, that he could, maybe not necessarily turn him good, but anyway, team up with them to somehow get rid of Angel.
Yeah, you can tell that Spike is, he's conspiring.
The wheels are turning.
I mean, he was sitting
not just in his chair.
I mean, yeah, he was sitting alone in his chair while everybody was at the movie theater watching
the mall.
Well, if he ever did anything, it wouldn't be to help the Scoobies. It would be to help himself.
Well, I mean, number one. Yeah, but it can't, I don't know. Like, maybe it is very Scooby-Doo of me to think, well, you know, he could dupe them into somehow helping him because ultimately he's selfish and insecure, but whatever, I still love him. But that's my point. And, you know, but he's, oh gosh, I was trying to think, I was texting somebody the other day and he's, oh God, what was the word? He's dastardly.
Ah.
Dastardly.
Or something.
One of the things going on, Spike chiding Angel about not having killed Buffy yet, is that Angel is really jealous of Spike having killed two Slayers.
Oh, yes.
And that's one of the reasons why he's you know, just constantly getting at him.
I didn't even consider that. I thought he was just trying to give him a hard time in general.
And Angelus is particularly cruel on Valentine's Day.
I wrote down here a note. I wrote it down. Where is it? I have so many notes for this episode. I want to know what Angel nailed the puppy to. I demand to know what the puppy was nailed to. I must know. Hey, Buffy Between the Lines people, work on it. Hop to this. I need to know.
But how do we know they haven't? We're not allowed to listen to them.
You're right. If you have, please accept my apology.
Well, going back to Spike and Angel for a second, maybe Angelus doesn't want to kill Buffy. Because
you're still on this, right?
Deep down inside, he knows what he's doing. Okay.
I think he's pulling a Drew. He wants... Well, not pulling a Drew. He's going to want to do to Buffy what he did to Drew, which is drive her mad, drive her insane, and just keep antagonizing her.
Yeah, Tom's really crazy.
You know, sending her those flowers.
Well, it's a game to him. He has more pleasure out of teasing her than he would ever killing her.
Yeah. Substitute tease with torture.
Yes. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think he's avoiding killing her because he wants to protect her. I think he knows that it's more cruel to torture someone than to kill them. I mean, come on, puppies.
Yeah.
Well, Drusilla was doing pretty much the same thing playing with Angel when she was torturing him.
Yeah. So yeah.
Not that unusual for vampires.
Amy's back.
Yes.
Yay.
Witch! Witch! Turn me into a newt. It got better.
What? Amy's a witch?
Amy's a witch. That fake homework thing? Awesome.
That was awesome.
That was great. Really happy with that.
One of the things I really like about Amy, though, is that she's not so experienced. Like, an experienced musician like Ethan Rain, he casts a spell, it works.
Yeah, but he doesn't know how to hold a bottle of acid properly.
Right. Amy's homework spell works, her turning Buffy into a rat works, but the love spell really doesn't. It kind of backfires. So, you know, there are things that magic can do and things that are, you know, beyond her capabilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because she's just been practicing magic for the past year. She wasn't really doing it before her mother. So she's a newbie at the magics. But Xander wants the Hellmouth working for him. He wants Cordelia to fall in love with him so he can break her heart.
Let's back up for a second. I'm sorry, but Cordelia breaking up with Xander was the most cowardly chicken shit thing I've seen done in a very long time. Oh, my friends don't. The shunner becomes the shunnee, and she can't take it. And so she's going to just dump him?
She's just a weak little girl.
Who's worse, a cowardly Cordelia or a backstabbing Jenny Callender?
Awkward moment in the hallway, huh? She's still in the doghouse.
Yeah, she tries to reach out and talk to Giles in this episode.
I'm still upset with Jenny, but I mean, if Comic-Con got their act together, I'd still invite her. Yeah, I'm kind of starting to forgive Jenny a little bit.
Aww.
And hoping she notices my shirt. But I don't know. I mean, I guess Cordelia is more forgivable because she's a teenager, and
yeah.
it's you know, peer pressure is hard. It's difficult.
Yeah, teenagers make mistakes
all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Could Buffy's leopard skin skirt be any shorter?
Yes.
Yes.
In the following scene, she's not even wearing one.
Yes. Wait, first of all, I want to bring up Xander had the walk of shame.
Oh.
The walk of shame. Won't you learn? Won't you learn a second language so even people from other countries? You. Oh, yeah. Harmony. I hate that girl.
Like the last episode, the secondary characters, like the mean girls, they're so mm-hmm. exaggerated and so over the top. It's like, oof. But it's a TV show, so I use my SOD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a couple of characters later on that I always noticed that very intense girls that they introduce on the show, everybody hates them because they're so over the top and it's just too much. And it turns a lot of viewers off at first.
I actually love Harmony. I think this is the first time she's been there all season. And, you know, she starts out doing the Cordelia bitch thing, but by the end of the episode, you can see she's also capable of, like, this really vulnerable, wounded look when things don't go her way. Mm-hmm. And things don't go her way very often because she's really not all that bright. Mm. So that's going to come up. Yeah.
Is she the same girl that tumbled down the stairs?
Yes, she is.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
She actually was in the unaired pilot, so she's been there since the beginning. She's just not there very often.
Hmm.
Oh. Yeah, she was there in the computer lab when Willow told Cordelia to press...
Deliver.
What was it? Deliver.
D for deliver.
Yes. Yeah, she was the one that fell for it. As I said, not that bright.
Okay. I have a theory. Mm-hmm. Ancillary Jonathan and Ancillary Harmony get together.
Jonathan Harmony shipper, cool.
Yeah. Germany.
Germany.
Harnathan. Can I talk about something that really touched me?
Like,
and I'm not being sarcastic or fake or phony or in any way, shape, or form, but it really touched me. And I did notice until my second viewing when Xander asks for the necklace back. And she said it's in her locker. Yep. It wasn't in her locker. She was wearing it.
Yeah. Because Cordelia she likes Xander more than she wants to admit.
Or she likes jewelry a lot.
Or she likes necklaces.
Oh, Kim.
I knew she was wearing it because, like, usually.
Now you have me hating her again.
No,
damn it.
No, she likes him. You know. But I knew she was wearing it because she had her shirt buttoned all the way up to the top.
Yeah, that was a different look for her.
And I was like, why is she... And I was like, oh, because she has to take the necklace off. But that was really cute.
And one more thing. I want to buy the Witchcraft Xander action figure. The one sitting cross-legged holding something with paint on him with his shirt off looking so meek and cute and adorable.
What?
Xander during the ceremony, the way he looks, I want that. I want an action figure with him, with all that, with his shirt off and with the paint and with the in the exact same pose. I think it's the most adorable thing I've ever seen. Oh, where he's just little guy. It's like, I don't know exactly what I'm getting into. I hope everything works out.
Blow out the candle.
So funny.
Oh.
But in the scene in the bronze when Cordelia breaks up with him and he's walking over to her, I'm just like, this guy looks ridiculous. He's got,
and
like, you know,
says.
The look of that time, you know, with the collar outside the jacket.
Yeah.
So 70s. I'm like, whoa, this guy kind of looks like Angel.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cordelia's like, wow, you look so good. I was like, oh, God.
Buffy dressed him. Of course he looks like Angel.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, I really liked that scene, even though she broke up with him. But, like, mm-hmm. just how that Xander totally opened up to her, and too bad she shot him down.
That was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think we've all failed to bring up the most important thing about the Bronze is that Oz has his cool hair. Yes.
Thanks again, Gabby.
And we had Steph's favorite band ever, Dingoes Ate My Baby.
Oh, Dingoes Ate My Baby rocks.
In front of Cupid.
And that is a great song. I have that song, Pain, the Slayer mix. It's on my running playlist.
Nice.
Great song.
Is that the song that was playing when they broke up?
I think so. Yeah.
It was a song that Willow was talking about Oz's cool hair during.
The second that they broke up, the lyrics of the song were, "Don't drift away from me." And I was like, this is so cheesy.
So Xander shows up, expects Cordelia to be in love with him, and she's not, and he's weirded out that it's not working, and all of a sudden he gets asked out on a date by Buffy.
In the previous episode, mm-hmm. when Buffy hugs Xander, mm-hmm. was that just because to make in this episode, when she starts coming on to him, to make you think,
I'm convinced that's why.
Because, I don't.
Because of that moment, I wasn't... I thought that she was actually coming on to him in this episode at the beginning.
I didn't, not for a second.
As soon as he jokes about lap dances and she says, if you play your cards right, I'm like, no, okay. No, this is going too far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't think it was real, but I did think that was why that hug was placed there.
Yeah. And that was the only reason.
Really?
I don't know about that.
I don't think that they're connected at all.
Really?
No.
Huh.
I think it's just had something to do with, like we joked about in the last episode, who's Buffy going to choose next, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't think there was any,
Buffy's available. Any guy's fair game.
Exactly.
Oh, Buffy refers to Angelus as the big bad in the dark. And this is where big bad comes from.
I get it.
Oh.
Stuck.
Was it the big bad in the dark that used to be my honey? Mm-hmm. Was that what she said?
I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So Buffy playing with her hair, right? As Xander's looking in from the outside. I mean, it's kind of sexy. Mm-hmm. But Buffy
there was a lot of hair flipping going on.
You know, more sexy. And I must say, there's a willow in your bed. that I was not expecting a willow in his bed.
No.
Nor was I expecting that bug on his wall. Did you guys notice that?
No.
No.
There's a bug on his wall, like a beetle, like a scarab beetle on his wall.
Was it like a decoration?
Yeah, it was a decoration. Like, remember him and the bugs? Right? And the bug woman?
Oh.
So I'm wondering why he has that scarab beetle on his wall. I think it might be a little inside joke.
Might be.
And definitely I wanted to be Xander there for a while. Can you guess which while?
The whole while?
No.
Jamie was tugging on him and rubbing on him.
I must say, the nice shirt. I was like, oh my goodness. Even Jenny Calendar has been affected.
Have you been working out?
I thought that all the ladies would just be attracted to him when they saw him. That's why I thought it was weird that Willow was in his bed. Because
mm-hmm.
Willow hadn't seen him before the spell. But S.O.D.
Xander does not know how doors work.
Did you catch that too? Oh.
Yeah.
But vengeance. This is the first... Mm-hmm. The vengeance is a theme that will come back very often.
It's not like commerce.
What?
It's not like commerce.
What does that mean?
Which is what Uncle Calderash said that in Innocence.
Oh, yeah.
And take off the raincoat. Just take it off. Everything will be fine. Don't listen to Xander.
Buffy's never looked better than in that scene, I think.
Yeah, she has nice legs.
Not better, Was she wearing, I should say.
Was she wearing pantyhose?
Yeah, she was wearing pantyhose.
I was going to say, because her legs were very shiny.
Very shiny.
My legs are very shiny.
Are you wearing pantyhose?
No comment.
In that scene, like, to heighten it, she was super, super blonde. And her, mm-hmm. she was really tanned. Never mind.
It must have been a popular look for vixens in the late 90s.
She must have just got back from vacation.
I guess.
Holiday. Drew finally found a real man.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and jealous, he is going to kill Xander to get to hurt Buffy.
Well, I was, even when I made my notes, I was saying the one good thing about the spell is that...
Yes, it kept...
It's, yeah, exactly. It kept Drusilla and Angelus away from Buffy and Xander. Because if there was no spell, Buffy probably would have been at home. And Angelus would have gone to attack her that day.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It's a good job, Xander.
Axe wielding Willow is super awesome.
Tears streaming down her face.
Aww.
Wearing a bra.
Wait a second. We'll get to that later, you.
Oh, no, Willow wasn't?
No.
Oh. She was under the spell.
I love it when Oz clocked Xander.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what you did, but. He was. He made her cry, and Oz didn't like that. Makes me love Oz more.
I felt a strong urge to punch you. That was one of the longest speeches Oz ever gave.
Yeah.
He's normally one or two words.
Mm-hmm.
And Oz was the perfect person to be there when Buffy came back naked from being a rat. Completely unflappable.
Yeah.
It's like, whatever.
Well, you know, he was naked in the woods not that long ago. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they
gets it.
He gets it.
He get up naked in a weird place.
Now, when Buffy rematerializes Buffy, did she go, huh? I didn't catch it.
No.
Perhaps between the lines, we'll touch on that.
Yes. Between the lines, get on it. And then I'll be able to listen in about 3 years.
Did anybody laugh or get really cringeworthy when Joyce was all over Xander?
Oh, I know, that's so uncomfortable.
I couldn't.
Cordelia certainly did.
Yeah. Oh, it was awkward when she went to like kiss his neck. I was like, oh my God.
Joycey. She called herself Joycey.
Joycey.
She's a cougar on the prowl.
So weird.
As soon as they approached Buffy's house, I'm like, please let Joyce be in there. Please let Joyce be in there. Please let Joyce be in there. I was like, I have to see this moment. It's going to be awesome.
I didn't see it coming at all. That's great.
So when Xander was walking down the hallway and that awesome music was playing,
mm-hmm.
There are a couple of guys staring at him too.
Of course.
Why not?
I thought it was just the female population that was supposed to be all a flutter about him.
Yeah, but he's the man. He can't help but notice the man.
Was Larry around?
Larry would have been all up in that. That's all my notes.
Cordelia calls Harmony a sheep.
Yeah.
Cordelia is not a sheep.
Apparently not, because she started that teddy bear backpack trend. So she's right.
She's a troll.
Yeah, that was weird.
Well, we
what does it take to keep you people happy? When they started beating up on Cordelia, I got really scared for a second. Yeah. They're going to kill Cordelia.
It got really intense.
It really did.
After the pack, you would think it's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
I have one last note. I want to be the stagehand in charge of pulling the string that makes Giles's tie fly backwards. In that scene where they're doing the big time spell And that's really... See, they saved money on last week's werewolf costume for the CGI spell stuff in this episode.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
I thought that was really convincing. I liked it.
It was excellent, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have a new lame excuse.
Oh, yeah.
So we've had PC and what, gangs on PCP?
Oh, yeah.
Gas leak?
Gas leak.
And now it's...
And so it's a scavenger hunt.
Scavenger hunt that went awry.
And they even make fun of it. Buffy's yeah. like, they really bought that?
They bought gangs on PCP. Why not? So now we've got lame excuse watch.
Don't do it.
I love that part. Best scavenger hunt ever. Yeah. God, Sunnydale, they'll buy anything.
Yeah. Of course.
There's got to be tons of lead paint in that town. I have to say, so Cordelia realizes that the spell was for her, and all of a sudden, she's like all okay with it. And I guess it touches on her shallowness.
Yeah,
it reaches her in the deep part of her soul, which is actually quite shallow. I mean, is that what we're led to believe?
Yeah.
Or was it that it confirmed to her that Xander really did care about her? Because I thought Xander, I mean, the issue wasn't does Xander care. The issue is, are you going to be courageous enough to tell your friends to back mm-hmm. off? You know? So I kind of felt weird in that moment where she realizes that the spell was for her, because that really wasn't what it was about. It was about her not being able to stand up for her friends, which I'm glad they finally dealt with it at the end. But yeah, it was a little weird to kind of see that she really is very shallow. Mm-hmm. Even when we like her, like they don't change her shallowness. Do you know what I mean? Like,
nor should they,
you know, a lot of other shows would actually change people's stripes.
Well, maybe later on.
Maybe.
When she realizes she's in love with Xander or something.
Mm. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I think she did appreciate the effort Xander made. Before, she knew Xander liked her, but, you know, he was always talking about Buffy or Willow or whatever.
Yeah.
And here, mm-hmm. at least, he really was interested in her.
Mm-hmm. I don't think she realized how much she liked him.
Yes, that too. Mm. That too. But I think it's just weird, like the non-love triangle that's going on. Because like Xander really, really wants to be with Buffy. But it's like he's settling with Cordelia. But at the same mm-hmm. time, he's not settling with her because he wants to see what's going to happen. Plus, he also likes the fact that in the back of his mind, Willow is still fawning over him.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a weird dynamic.
Well, the one thing to be aware of in Sunnydale is that things always change. Mm-hmm. You know, when it looks like everything's going well, one of you turns into a werewolf. So, you know, if you don't like what's going on now, you know, wait a little bit and something else will happen.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Any other points?
Greatest episode ever. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I can totally see this being one of those episodes I'll watch. Just, you know.
It was good fun. Real good fun.
Yeah.
Rate it?
Let's get ready to rate, unless anybody else has any more points.
No.
Nope.
Uh-uh. Anybody?
I'll go first then.
Okay.
I'm going to give this episode a 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10 what?
Nice shirts.
I'm going to give it 8 out of 10 phony scavenger hunts.
I'll give it 8 out of 10 self-tanner.
Nice.
I'm going to give it 8 out of 10 lungs.
What rhymes with lungs?
Slung.
I'm going to give it 9 out of 10 mom-aged mitts.
Nice.
I think in season one, this would have been a 10. I mean, it was a really, really good episode. But I think there were some truly amazing episodes in season two. Mm-hmm. As good, you know, ones I like as much as this, a couple I like better.
Well, right now, every episode I watch is being compared to Innocent. So, so it's like, yeah, you gotta blow my socks off if you're going to beat that episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, what's next?
We'll make my head explode.
Next episode.
And I want to talk about that in a little bit soon, but go ahead, Bob.
No, that was it.
Bra Watch?
There were two that I noticed. Well, actually, one is definite. The other one's kind of I had to go back and double check. But we had, let me see, when she was wearing that, the jammy tank top with the chick on it. there was a bra. I gotta double check her. I believe it was black because, you know, that's how she rolls. Mm-hmm. And okay. And when she was wearing that top that I actually kind of thought was cute with the see-through white with the white tank top. I think it was also white bra, white tank top, see-through long sleeve shirt over the top. If somebody wants to verify that for me,
I think we should start a wiki just for it. People could just go ahead and edit it.
Oh, great. No, it's not happening.
We're not doing that.
I've never done this. I have to use this as an excuse for another rewatch at some point.
Mm-hmm. Excellent idea.
Watching solely for the bras.
Mm-hmm. Or lack of, depending on the episode.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, how did she get them to do that?
It's easy when you're 20 years old.
She hadn't had kids yet.
Yeah. Oh, my Lord, y'all. When a couple of weeks ago when they were doing – have I said this before? When they were doing tweet your 16-year-old self.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said – talk to your breast as often as you can because
it'll make them grow.
We talk to your breast while they're still high enough to hear you.
Nice.
That's funny.
What's our homework for next week, Steph?
Passion.
Now, listeners. Steph had an idea, and it was actually inspired, I believe, by you, Bob, wasn't it?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No.
It was Kevin. It was probably Kevin. Inspired by an email we got. Yes, it was Kevin, because he recorded his own voice telling us about the idea, which is that instead of watching the episode separately and then talking about it with a guest, what we're going to do for Passion – or if you have it on iTunes, it's called Old Passion. I don't know what that's about. But yes, my episode is called Old Passion. But the episode is actually called Passion Everywhere Except iTunes. Is we're actually going to somehow get together over the interweb and watch it simultaneously and record ourselves watching it as a commentary.
Huh?
Yes.
How is that even possible? Magic?
Magic.
How did that happen?
We will schedule it and we will make it happen. And so that's the idea. And apparently my head will explode. Can't wait for that moment.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think somebody suggested that you pause between acts and talk a bit at that point as well, though.
Mm-hmm. So we're not talking over each other.
You're not talking over everything that's happening. You're not missing things.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
someone
a good
did
idea.
Suggest, yeah, like where the commercials would be.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Because sometimes when I watch the show, I have to pause and go back.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be annoying for me going, what happened? What happened?
I think we should just – I think the way we should approach it, and this is my opinion, and I think it might work out really well, is we pretend that we're basically getting together to watch a show at someone's house in the old days before you had the DVR and the rewind and the whole thing, and that we would basically have that kind of experience. I think it might work out well, even if we don't catch everything right away.
Yeah, you
is
might have
like
to watch
it. Is this like a super big episode? Is that why we're doing this?
Apparently my head will explode.
Oh. It's a really great episode.
Maybe we should do it for a lesser episode.
Now I feel pressure.
Oh, gosh. Oh, okay. Let's do
it. Don't worry. You'll be able to react to everything you see.
Let's not worry, Kim. I think we should just go for it and try it out. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's not like we're running out of episodes anytime soon. Oh. Right? All right. Quote time.
Oh,
my boyfriend's in the band.
That was my number one.
Uh-oh.
Sorry.
This has got to stop. Time for me to act like a man and hide.
I knew you'd like it. I found it in a quaint little shop girl.
That was my number two.
Slaying is a tad more perilous than dating. Well, you're obviously not dating Cordelia.
Force is okay.
Oh, God.
Or, I know what your face wants.
That's right.
Pow. I want a willow on my earlobe. Just saying. Santa?
Okay, go.
I guess Xander's just too much man for the pimple squad.
Yeah.
Oh, I also liked Xander, what's going on? Who died and made you Elvis?
Yeah. That was weird. Awkward. Who made you queen of the world? Well, you're old enough.
They like Elvis, Gavin Rossdale, and John Cusack. Those are the hot guys of the checklist.
Apparently.
Oh, John Cusack still disturbs me.
It was from Say Anything.
I know, but still. Ew.
But still?
I've never crushed on him.
Hmm. Well, 12 years ago,
no,
he was different.
All right. Send us your favorite quotes. You can do that. You can call us, 270-40-BUFFY. You can send us an email at
PotentialCast@gmail.com.
If you're on Facebook, do a search for the Facebook group we have called PotentialCast. It's PotentialCast, all one word, no spaces, no special characters. Ask to join. We'll be happy to let you in. Keep it spoiler-free, and you can start a topic on anything. People are talking about courses they're teaching on Firefly and on other things, and it's really great. Lots of people. So far at the time of this recording, we have about 102 members, and it's a lot of fun. You can follow us on Twitter. Twitter.com/PotentialCast. You can also visit our website, PotentialCast.com, where we release show notes for the show. That's also where you can subscribe to the podcast or obviously subscribe to us on iTunes. And if you want to be one of the cool kids, I hear there's a store at CafePress.com/PotentialCast, and you can be the proud owner of a Potential Cast thong.
Yeah!
Don't let Mike from New Jersey be the only one with a potential cast thong. Gosh. Thanks for joining us again, Bob.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Really appreciate you staying up so late.
It's pretty normal.
Awesome.
Same.
One thing I'd like to say, I'm going to be a guest on the Hellmouth podcast a little later on, doing a season 3 episode, Doppelgangland.
Oh,
so if you can tolerate spoilers, and if you're a fan of that one, give it a listen.
All right. I'll be looking forward to that.
Not for us.
Oh, it's such a great episode. It's awesome.
Should we watch it live? And
then yes. Then somebody's head might explode.
It's another one sort of like this. I like the ones where something is a little off in Sunnydale, whether it's because of a spell, like with Halloween was another one, mm-hmm. but just where something's different than usual. And it's another one like that. Those are some of my favorite episodes.
Yeah, the one that I was watching today, it was a really fun one. It was where they were trying to raise money for the marching band uniforms.
Oh, yeah, band camp.
Yep. Yes. So much fun.
Mm-hmm.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
I love it. Yay, there it is. Awesome. Perfect. All right. Good stuff.
Oh, that sounds like so much fun.
It is. And it's going to be, what is it in Fahrenheit today here? Right now, the temperature
22.
Outside is, why is it so slow? 12 degrees Fahrenheit.
Ouch.
Oh.
And tomorrow's low is 16.
Well, it's about 20 here, but I figured I wasn't going to complain about weather in a conversation with two Canadians.
Sorry. The low tomorrow is actually going to be 4.
Oh, my. Wow.
I can't imagine that. Yeah, it got in the teens this week for us. And that's,
poor baby.
Yeah, it's we're like.
Do you even know what gloves look like?
No, I mean, how are people not dying?
Have you ever? It's called acclimatization. It's something that the human body can do quite easily and quite quickly. However, have you ever worn a toque?
No, I don't know.
I'm going to bring you a toque the next time we see each other.
Okay.
Because, shipping is just outrageous.
Yes, it is. Toque. Spell that.
Spell it.
T-U-Q-U-E. Toque.
Okay.
Toque.
It's a
full hat.
It's a hat.
Yes.
No, it's a toque.
It's a hat.
No. No. A hat is something the Gorch brothers can wear. A toque is something you wear when you go play hockey outside in 0 degrees Fahrenheit.
You're thinking about the thing that you attach
to your toe, the toboggan.
Toboggan.
No, yeah. I call these boggins.
Oh. Like Bilbo? No?
Huh?
Anyone?
Like Bilbo Baggins? Yes.
Okay, apparently being lame... Not a good way to start off a podcast. It shuts people up. Hey, out of the five of us, I think I'm the only one that had to resurrect a fallen Christmas tree today.
I think you're right.
True.
Did that in 2 hours, and I was able to finish making my sandwich.
And you had to do.
I almost died.
Injury.
No, my butt hurts so much.
So what happened? The tree fell on you.
Here's the thing. I was watching a little bit of Twin Peaks on my couch, resting my butt.
You've watched a lot of Twin Peaks lately.
I had not watched it since it first aired, and iTunes had it for not expensive, and I bought it. Mm-hmm. And I've been watching it, and it's awesome. And I decided, it's 11:30. I'm going to go make my lunch. I got up off the couch, go to the kitchen. I go ahead and grab my supplies out of the fridge. Crash, boom, bang. Glass breaking. I look over, the tree is not where it was. It actually fell on, had I stayed there, it would have fallen on me.
Oh my gosh.
I would have been impaled by thousands of tiny little green needles. So it took me 2 hours to clean it up, and I had to go out to the Rona and get a bigger, I basically got the mother of all tree stands. And it's now, if this thing falls over, it's because it's possessed. Are there any possessed Christmas trees in further seasons of Buffy?
Yes.
I don't want to spoil myself. Really?
Definitely.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yay. God bless the Hellmouth.